matter what people say. We got it going on. Who cares about what they think?
You know me, I'm the hottest in the street.
WJMS. This is According to RP.
Turn up the volume, kick back, and get raw with us.
From the latest hip hop beats, to social issues that cripple the black community, all from the perspective of a young, strong black woman.
A strong black woman.
And now your host, Rita.
Welcome back, everyone, for another episode of According to RP on WJMS Radio. It's your girl, Rita Pierre, your host. And as always, I hope you guys have a wonderful weekend, and I hope you guys are getting ready for the week to come. So, if you guys haven't noticed, or if you guys are wondering what's going on with my voice, well, it's definitely an octave lower. I feel like I'll be sniffling a couple of times on this show as well, too. The weather has caught me. I have a headache. I don't know. I have the sniffles. It's not a cold, but, you know, whenever there's a weather change, that's what happens to me. And summer is definitely out the way. It's been consistently chilly, although I love the fall. I'm not really even complaining about that because I've declared this on many occasions. I am a fall girl, winter baby, so I actually do like chilly weather. This right here is my weather. I love sweater weather, tights, Uggs, you know, booties, jackets, braids. Like, that's my type of season. That's my type of look. So I'm definitely in my bowl of grease right now. bowl of grease, for those of you who are not aware, Haitians have this saying, una bol gresu. It's like when you're like in your element, when you're thriving in your element. Why is it bowl of, the direct translation is bowl of grease. Why? It's bol gres, bowl of grease. I'm not really sure what is so entertaining and what is so lively about being in a bowl of grease. I will investigate this, though, because I always like to know the origin of sayings, and I say this one a lot, and I translate it a lot, and people look at me like I'm crazy, but it is a saying for my real Haitians out there. You know, when somebody says bol gres, you know what that means. But either way, but yes, I'm definitely in my element here in the fall weather. However, you know, whenever there's a drastic weather change, the sniffles take place, and, you know, so I'm just getting used to that. So that's why my voice is an octave lower, or maybe it's half an octave. Maybe it's not a full octave, but either way, I digress. But I hope you guys did have a really good weekend. It's the first real weekend after Labor Day. Kids are back in school, so, I mean, for those of us New York City parents, we only had about, 2 days. Kids went to school on Thursday, Friday, so we really don't have a full assessment of what the real school year is going to look like with these children. But nonetheless, it's our first weekend in the real fall schedule, right? It's also the mark of the starting point of gala season. Gala season starts, in my opinion, it starts in September. You might have some places trying to squeeze galas in at the end of August, but September marks gala and fundraiser season. So from here on out until, you know, even early 2020, you know, in the early spring, you have all these galas taking place, you know, different organizations celebrating anniversaries, you know, also doing yearly fundraisers for their causes, etc. But last night I had the pleasure of going to Capricare's 10th year anniversary gala. So those of you who've been paying attention to the show know that last week, Jean Pierre-Louis, CEO, president, and founder of Capricare, graced our mic and was a guest on the show when he talked about his organization and the importance of the work that he's doing, and he talked about the credibility of his work, the different, other groups and organizations that he's working with. But he also talked about the 10th year anniversary and how it was going to be taking place yesterday. And so I was fortunate enough and honored to be asked to be the red carpet correspondent. I think I posted maybe one or two pictures on my personal, so I guess I'll post some on the According to RP as well. But I was honored to do so because it was my first time being a commentator of some sort on the red carpet that they had. So it was pretty cool stepping into that role. Those of you who are looking for red carpet correspondence for your events, I am accepting applications. You could slide up in my DM or send me an email. But it was really great to be there. I'm always down for a good cause. And I, you know, there's so many causes out there. So I definitely choose my causes with caution because I don't, you know, have energy or money to be supporting everything. But CapraCare definitely is an organization that I've personally worked with. I've personally funded one of their core initiatives, which is the youth initiative, which is where Broaches for Books, an initiative that I started through my company, Free to Women NYC. I've been, you know, working with them for about a year now with that specific endeavor. But, you know, their overall mission to help the people of Fonfret Haiti and their initiative specifically with cervical cancer screenings is definitely important. I mean, I've done my own research on cervical cancer and its prominence in our society, in our world. Cervical cancer is the fourth cause of death amongst women in the world, and it is the eighth cause, it's the eighth cancer, I guess, the eighth cancer that causes death in, if that makes sense. I know I had like the actual proper saying, but basically out of all the cancers in the entire world, it's the eighth leading cancer that's affecting individuals in the world, but it's the fourth leading cancer that affects women in the world. So, I mean, I was looking at the chart of the countries that are at the highest, I guess, have the highest incidences of cervical cancer, and they're all African countries. I looked at a list of 20. They're all countries in Africa, I think Zimbabwe and Malawi being the top two. Now, in Haiti, cervical cancer is the leading cause of death in women. And a lot of it is because there is no preventative care measures, right? So pre-screening, screening, these things are non-existent in a lot. And I would dare say in most regions of the country, unless there is an organization out there putting together these screenings, it's not happening, right? And it's understandable why it's not happening, because we're talking about a country that has a lot of issues. And so people are prioritizing, right, where the aid, where the need, where the resources need to go. And cervical cancer screening, unfortunately, is not part of the priority. And so that's why you have a lot of women dying, unnecessary deaths, right? Because if there were screenings put into place to detect pap smears, we here in America, those of us who have health insurance, and even those of us who don't have health insurance, the women, for the most part, we know to go to the gynecologist at least once a year, and we get a pap test. And we have a lot of clinics throughout the cities and even some of the rural areas that provide free, if not very reduced, cost screenings for these types of things. And, you know, that's why, here we're able to contain the incidences of cervical cancer, because you take a pap smear and the pap smear comes back abnormal, you're already going in doing, you know, follow-up tests just to make sure everything is okay. Now, in areas of Haiti, specifically here in Fonfret, prior to, you know, CapraCare coming in with this initiative, you know, women were dying at alarming rates. And the women there, you know, we heard accounts from volunteers who went down there, who've been down there in Haiti, and they talked about the women coming to them, telling them that their mothers died of cervical cancer, their grandmothers died of cervical cancer, their sister died of cervical cancer. And now, because CapraCare is there, they have hope that it will not be them, it will not be their children. And things like that, like stories like that, it was what motivates myself and others to give, because screening, prevention can save lives. It's proven. It's not a theory. It's, you know, although I give my opinions on this show, it's not an according to RP opinion. These are proven facts and proven statistics that show that screenings and preventative measures will save lives. You catch a cancer early enough in the precancerous stage, you see the abnormality happening. I mean, I don't want to get into a whole, you know, anatomy and physiology situation here, but you catch it while, you know, you see abnormal cells before it becomes anything, you know, crazy. You can stop it. You can prevent the cancer and you can save the lives. So that's only one of the major initiatives of CapraCare. And that's, you know, only one of the areas we were raising money for. But again, it was a beautiful night. I was honored to be there, honored to be part of the process, even, you know, in whatever way, shape or form I could be. But even though the 10th anniversary gala is over, the giving does not end. The giving does not end there. It continues. And so if you are interested in either being a volunteer, providing funds, you know, supporting in any way, shape, or form monetarily, then you definitely want to go onto their website, www.capracare.org, and, you know, and you know, be a change maker. Be a change maker. Let's help change some lives. So I guess as I'm going to be a little bit everywhere on today's show. Normally I have a particular order I go to, you know, Urban Dictionary Word of the Week, but I guess I might as well go into the big up. So the
watch it. When you feel big up, big up. All of the woman them big up, big up. All of the girl them big up, big up. All of the woman them big up, big up.
Big up of this week will be Jean-Pierre Louis and CapraCare. That's the big up of the week. I mean, he wasn't the show last week, but again, just being there last night and listening to other people outside of Jean talk about the organization and their personal involvement and the impact that it's had on the women of Haiti. I'm just like, wow, this is, you know, there are many organizations doing great things, but, you know, sometimes when you hear it from others, so, you know, the president and CEO, they'll always be there to talk well of their organization and to talk about their vision and the impact or whatever. But when you have people flying out from Kentucky talking about, you know, how they sought out this organization to help them with their, you know, initiative of screening women in rural areas for cervical cancer because they are looking to save lives, and they talk about their experience on the ground and the immediate impact that they've seen. That's amazing. And so that happened last night. You know, a woman from the Rotary Club, and there's an organization that sought out CapraCare, and I believe Jean talked about it on the last on his appearance on the show last week. But talked about how, you know, she took the flight just to be at the 10th year anniversary to talk about the importance of screening for cervical cancer and the work that she's and her organization has already done with CapraCare. And again, amazing, amazing work. And so for that, CapraCare and Jean-Pierre Louis, the founder, CEO, president, you know, you got to give all the names, you got to give all the titles, gets the big up of the week. And I look forward to seeing the next, you know, 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years of CapraCare and the amazing work. And, you know, I look forward to hearing about the numbers, the alarming numbers of women, not alarming, but the high numbers of women that they were able to save through their screening project. And so at this point, I might as well go with the womp womp of the week, and we'll keep the Urban Dictionary Word of the Week till late since we are going out of order here. So this week's womp womp of the week, I don't know if you guys heard of the U.S. woman who is currently, I think she's currently in custody in Philippines for trying to smuggle out a 6-day-old baby in some sort of like cross wrap bag. Like, ridiculous. And my friends and I were having a brief conversation about this incident when we first heard about it. And we're like, where does the privilege end? Like, what is this, where a woman, you know, a U.S. woman can go to another country, here being the Philippines, and say, hey, I'm gonna smuggle this infant out and stick it in a cross bag. So according to CNN, an American woman has been charged with human trafficking. Ah, so she has been charged with human trafficking after allegedly trying to smuggle a six-day-old baby out of the Philippines. So there was a press conference that took place by the National Bureau of Investigations in the Philippines this past Thursday. And the International Airport Investigation Division chief said that the 43-year-old woman, Jennifer Talbot, had used a sling bag to allegedly hide the baby while passing through immigration and did not provide any documentation for the child. Ridiculous. And it's funny because it's not even like those baby bags that you see people tote their children in. Like, this is a legit, like, cross bag of some sort. Like, I don't know how the baby was breathing. Like, I don't even, and this is a 6-day-old baby. This is not even, I thought it was a child, a baby that was a little older. Not that that makes any big, you know, any much more of a difference, but this is literally an infant who just got spat out days prior. Like, this baby is a fragile baby. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is ridiculous. And so she really tried to board her Delta Airlines flight with this baby, but was stopped. And when they asked her to, because what happened was she ended up, so when she finally got to the gate, I guess she felt, oh, freedom. And so she took the baby out of the little sack that she had. But when she got to the gate, they were like, where are the papers for this child? And she could not provide them. And that's what triggered them, to the people at the gate, to now get, you know, the feds, I guess their version of the feds, involved. And so, you know, I'm not really sure. So the woman, I mean, this clearly was obviously like a plan. The woman at one point, I think as she was getting through the airport and getting through security, said something about, or I think she tried to say that this child was, I think her nephew. I don't know where this rhetoric came from, but there was some talks about her at some point. I don't know if it while is, I think it was while she was traveling from whatever the village or town was to the airport. I think she was asked by those, I'm not really sure who those are, but she was asked, you know, who this baby was, and she was claiming that she was the baby's aunt. So this is prior to getting to the airport, I guess during her travel to the airport. Apparently she's dropping dime though, because she gave the info of the baby's mother, which it looks like the authorities have already ran up on to find out, I guess, you know, if this was some sort of, like, I don't know if they were in cahoots of some sort. According to the white woman, though, the U.S. woman, she claimed that the baby's mother was unmarried and a single parent, but didn't really give any information whether or not the child had been sold. So it looks like the mother of the child gave this child up willingly, probably for some shekels. I don't know what the actual currency is in the Philippines, but she gave up the baby for some money, and that's how that happened. That's probably exactly how that happened. A part of me highly doubts that this white woman really just ran into a village and grabbed a baby, snatched it up, and ran out alive. I think that there definitely was some sort of money exchange, some voluntary willingness to give this baby up. But the feds, I don't know if they have the mother in custody yet, but they definitely ran up on her and asked some questions. They're now looking for the father, because they don't, you know, this could have been a whole family meeting and a whole family decision. But they're looking for the father now. They haven't found him yet. But I found this to be very crazy. Like, I feel like the way that security has been beefed up in the last few years, I don't understand how you women think that you can just go to another country, pay for a baby, and stick it in a bag. Like, you stuck the child, a 6-day-old baby, in a bag, and thought that you were going to get through airport security, immigration, and just hop on a plane with a baby. And then what was going to happen when you got to the States? Like, I need to really investigate the process, because when the baby now gets to the state, how would she now claim that this child is hers? I'm trying to understand what, like, I guess she, I don't know. I guess she would have somebody on the black market create some documents, I guess. I feel like I have more questions, but she gets the womp womp of the week because I just don't understand like how you think that this is okay. Like you just don't go up in another country, snatch up a baby, stick the baby in a bag, get on a plane with it, and then think that that's cool and then that's that, and avoid all sorts of adoption laws and procedures and regulations. Like, I feel like the privilege in all of this is just crazy. Like, it just, I don't know. I'm sure there's going to be more developing stories when it comes to this, but I was just like, no, I needed to give the womp womp to this woman. I mean, she's bold and gangster. Don't get me wrong. Like, this is a bold ass gangster ass move, but it's just so disrespectful. I mean, even though the mother, if she really was single and maybe she had, we don't even know what type of coercion happened. It's not like the white woman found this this single mother on, like, I don't know, I wouldn't say OkCupid Philippines, but give me your child Philippines. I don't know what the website would be. I don't even know. I'm making things up right now. But the woman had to have went to the Philippines, probably was looking for women to give up their, I'm sure this was like, you know, imperialism in at its finest, right? I'm sure that it was like, you know, I don't know, Christopher Columbus on his voyage just setting out to take people's stuff. Like, that's exactly what it feels like to me. Like, she went to the Philippines with this idea, with this agenda of snatching up a baby. And that's what she did. I mean, it failed, thank God. But it's, you know, like, who does that? Who's bold enough to just be like, I'm going to do this? And I don't care because I'm a U.S. white American. And so, you know, who gonna check me, boo? Like, that's exactly what it sounded like. Either way, the woman has been stopped. She's in detention. So hopefully, we'll see. She's been charged. We'll see what happens. But that's the womp womp of the week. So now, going now back, I guess, to our Urban Dictionary word or phrase of the week.
Do you understand the words?
May I have the definition?
What does skeet skeet mean?
It's on fleek.
Can you read the sentence?
Pop it on fleek.
Is it lit?
It's gonna be lit.
Major key.
It's time for the Urban Dictionary word or phrase of the week.
So, in keeping up with fall positivity, which is what I like to call it, I like to call this season the season of change, the season of positive things in the making. We had our fun, or well, some of us did, over the summer, but now it's time to get serious. It's now time to get cracking. And I thought that this phrase would be very appropriate, and it would add some sort of oomph to all of us who are approaching what Megan Thee Stallion has called hot nerd fall. So this week's word is add oil. It's a Chinese expression of encouragement often heard during sporting events or right before exams. Example, I'm so screwed for this final. I haven't studied all semester. The other person says, you'll do fine. Add oil. Now, I know it sounds cheesy. I know it's like, Rita, really? This is the word of the week, the phrase of the week. I was expecting something a little more robust, but I thought that it was actually appropriate. You know, I think that, I mean, it is, you know what? It's funny. I'm sorry to digress. All this is like working somehow. So earlier I stated, you know, I defined in a sense bowl of grease, bolgres, when I said that, you know, I'm in my bowl of grease because September is my season, fall is my season. And then I just realized that the Urban Dictionary word or phrase of the week is add oil. I wonder where this connection is going to lead. I didn't do this on purpose. I swear I did not. It just really hit me right now. I'm like, wait, we're talking about oil again. Maybe there's an anointing coming my way or your way. I'll share this epiphany. maybe there isn't an anointing coming our way, people. And I don't know. Maybe that's what's happening here, because anointing usually happens with oil, olive oil, I believe. So maybe there's an anointing coming our way. But I chose the word add oil because I feel like, you know, it's like that added luck. It's me wishing you guys good luck, wishing myself good luck as we embark in this season of grinding, right? This season of taking things seriously and really just trying to end the quarters, you know, strong. And so I think that if we, I don't know, I think we need to just have a level of positivity. And it's hard. It's not easy to think positive when things around you are not, you know, going the right way. But I think that entering the season with this, you know, positivity, with this sense of like, you know, I got this, things are going to be okay, with this, you know, with this encouraging spirit, I think it's necessary. And I think that's why when I saw Add Oil, I'm like, oh, this is nice. I feel encouraged even, you know, reading it. And so, I mean, obviously you can say this before, you know, outside of sporting events and taking exams. I think it applies to any aspect where we are in need of that encouragement. But yeah, that is the word of the week. And so I hope that it did bring some sort of encouragement to you all. I hope that, you know, again, I wish that everybody's season, end of year, is you know, is fruitful, is prosperous, and that we could end things off on a very strong note. I hope that those of us who were looking or are looking for inspiration, whether it be for our businesses, whether it be for direction in our lives, I hope that you add a little oil and you get it. So this week, I don't have a guest on the show this week. I think I've been doing good. I've had, like, you know, some back-to-back guests, so this week we don't have a guest for today, but I really wanted to come to you all quickly because I did not want to make this too long of a show today. I try not to make the shows where it's really just me talking very, very long. I try to, you know, keep it short, cute, and sweet. Well, sometimes I don't get that, but you guys know what I mean. But I really wanted to, I guess in the spirit of talking about encouragement and the season being that of, you know, grinding, I just wanted to come on and just, you know, give, I don't know, I guess it's still within the realm of encouragement, but just to kind of give some advice for the next coming weeks, next coming months. You know, we are, sadly enough, but I guess maybe also good, we are about to be ending 2019. This year went by really, really, really fast. I have no idea what type of steroids this year was on, but we are already in September, and it's September 7th. Like, we are about to be in October, and you already know it's downhill from there. The year is going to be ending pretty soon. And because I always find fall to be, it's always like January and September, right? Those are the 2 months where people, you know, get their burst of energy. January, because it's the beginning of a new year, and so you want to start off the year right. You have all these amazing ideas. You're trying to put things together. And then September is that, you know, period right after the summer. You take a break in the summer, you let your hair loose in the summer, but then September you come back, kids are back in school, you know, the bosses are back from vacation, and it's just a, you know, a strong grind until the end of the year to finish the year strong. And I find that a lot of us kind of get lost in the hype of all of it. So even for myself, I'm like, it's September. I'm getting things done. I want to get things done. I want to do X, Y, and Z. And so we're all up in the hype of the new season and of getting things done. And in being in the hype, sometimes we fail to actually get the things done because we are so, so into, you know, just throwing out the ideas and trying to plan, and we're failing to do. And so I just wanted to talk about maybe some of the things that I've tried to do and I've tried to implement, some of the things that I still need to implement to kind of keep myself on track and hopefully keep yourselves on track to actually move forward with some of the plans and some of the initiatives that you have, not just, you know, for the end of the year, but that you can carry on to the next year. Because again, like I said, January is kind of the same hype. Every, you know, we have planners, we go out and we buy all these sticky notes and we're like planning and we're talking. And then next thing you know, May is around and we really haven't accomplished half of the stuff on the January list. And we're kind of in this cycle. We're in this like continuous cycle of wanting to do, planning to do, but not actually doing. And so a couple of ways that I found to kind of combat this cycle or to break this cycle in a sense is to, one, definitely have your plans, but to write them down. I don't know what it is. I don't know if we're trying to challenge our minds or we're trying to exercise our mental capacity, but sometimes we just love to keep things in our head. Like we always want to try to remember. I don't know if you guys go through this, but like somebody will tell me something or I'll know I'll have an appointment and I won't put it in my book. I won't write it down. I won't put it in my phone. Instead, I'm like trying to, I don't know why I'm trying to remember things and I don't write them down. It's like I have all these plans and I'm just like, yeah, they're in my head, but we all know what's happening up there. I'm not saying we're all losing our cognitive value. What I'm saying is that we have a million things that we're doing. You know, we're in these streets. We got kids. We got work. There's so many things that are in our minds. And so trying to keep track of everything without really putting anything down on paper or in your phone or in a board is really ridiculous. And I'm calling myself ridiculous because I do it all the time, which is why I'm always double booked, triple booked, because I do not write everything down. I feel like I'm like, oh yeah, I'll remember. But then I don't. Thank God, like with the double, triple bookings, I've always been able to figure it out. But there's no need to be living in such chaos. There really isn't. And so I'm trying to do better with that. But yeah, writing things down. So it's not just about appointments, but your plans. You know, back in the day when we used to have our notebooks and we'd have a pro and con list and we'd write everything down and we would, you know, try to like evaluate and analyze things in writing, like that is still very necessary. And so when I have my ideas, I, you know, went on Amazon and I bought one of those huge Post-it boards, like the sticky ones. And I, you know, every week I write down what my plans for the week are, what some of the goals are for the week, even if it's something very, very little. And I'm looking at my board right now. I mean, I had working out every day and clearly that was a lie, but I'm looking at my board now and it was in one of them's even like, you know, respond to this person who sent you an email. Because even in that, you know, I have like 4 different email accounts. I cannot literally keep up with all of them. You know what I mean? And they don't always give you the alerts that you need to say, hey, you know, return this email. And so sometimes people are out here thinking, oh, she didn't get my email or she didn't respond to my email. It's not that. I'm trying to keep track. And so even doing something like that, like writing down on my board, like I have a board, a sheet for each week, and it says reply to so-and-so's email. I have that even written on, you know, the board, because it's important for me to keep track of things in my life, important things. And getting back to people is something that's important because, I mean, it just is, right? And so writing things out, and then, you know, if you need to do a A-list, a B-list, a C-list, whatever it is, but sometimes you need to visualize the things that you need to accomplish, whether they be the short-term goals or the long-term goals, you need to have them down somewhere visible. That's why you have people who create those vision boards. I was never a vision board person. I'm still not really a vision board person. I'm a realist. And not saying that people who are into vision boards are not. That's just my personality, though. I've always been like a realistic person in terms of like I think about the now. I think about, you know, I'm not necessarily putting things like, you know, well, one day I want to be a singer, I'm going to put a microphone on the board. I think that that's great for some people, but I know my personality and how I operate. And so that's why vision boards don't really work for me. I would much rather like have my list and say, okay, in 2020, I want to purchase a home. This is the different things that I need to look up. These are the different things I need to research. These are the different seminars I need to attend. These are the different people I know in my network that I need to hit up at some point. So maybe I might say, you know, second week of October, hitting up my boy, Vladimir Charles Pierre, who is my homeboy, who is a real estate agent out here in these streets, doing amazing things. So shout out to him. But I might hit him up and say, you know, in October 2nd, hey, I'm starting the process of looking for homes. I want, you know, can you give me some tips on areas that I should look into? Here is my price range, X, Y, and Z. And so things like that, like that's kind of how, like, if I know I want to open a business, I've been talking about opening this cafe for years now, you know, people are almost tired of me talking about it, but it's something that I want to do. If I want to do that in 2020, 2021, I would write that on my long-term sheet. And then again, the steps, creating a business plan. Maybe I might do that, you know, maybe I might start picking that up, you know, third week of October. I'm very, you know, literal like that. Now, obviously, you know, if these things don't work out within the time frame, you know, don't beat yourself up. Push it back a week if you need to, but at least it's on paper and you have it in your face. Like, there are mornings I wake up and I turn to like my right and I see the board and I'm like, ah, okay. And then I cross things off. This is what I need to still do this week. I didn't do this on Tuesday, but the week's not over. I can get this done on Wednesday. So long story short with that, you just want to make sure that you have, you know, your plans and you have your projects visible on paper, because that keeps you accountable to a certain degree, right? And that also helps you structure and see, you know, where you can fit things in and what the real time frame is that you'll be able to accomplish these things. Keeping them in your head and not writing them down, whether it be on a board like I do it, or I don't know, I would even say, I wouldn't even put it on a computer, because the computer, you're able to close it if it's not. I'm talking about like a sheet. I might even take a picture of it and post it on the IG. A sheet that is literally on my wall and I have to see it every time I maneuver in my room. It's in my face, so I cannot deny what I've done and what I've not done. But speaking, I guess, or keeping up with the talk of accountability, or within the same vein of accountability, I would also say, in order to kind of, again, break that cycle of being in the hype of talking about getting things done and not really getting things done, after you've, you know, written down your plans and you have, like I said, your A-list or B-list or however you want to do it, but you have it written down on a sheet, on a board that's in your face. It could be sticky notes. It can be the big post-it sheet. It could, if you have a whiteboard in your house, it could be that. Making sure that you have a strong support network of either friends or family that you can trust with your visions, you can trust with your plans, and bounce your ideas off of them and make sure that they are keeping you in check. I know for myself personally, I am an ideas person. I have a million of ideas at any given time, and a lot of them are good ideas. But the thing is that, you know, resources have always been my issue. I don't have the resources to carry out everything. And so with that being said, I have to keep myself in check in terms of, well, which projects am I going to start now? I'm not saying, you know, if you have like 10 projects, to only pick one and throw the rest out. And again, the importance of writing things down. But you have to pick which one is feasible for you right now. Which one are you available to accomplish right now? Or if it's not just one, it could be two. It could be three, whatever it is. But, you know, what are you realistically able to do right now? And what makes the most sense? And I would say over the last couple of months, maybe even year, I've been on a journey to figure out what makes the most sense for me, because I have a lot of things going on. And that's by choice. I'm not out here, you know, complaining in a sense, but it's by choice that I have a lot of these things going on. But at the end of the day, it's still a lot of things going on, and their priorities